two that were both on different stretchers. And she's crying out to God. And she cries out to God, and pretty much a cry any of us would cry. Why? Why? Something so senseless. You're trying to figure out why? Why? And her cry of why, you know, I mean, I'm standing there sometimes, you know, as a representative of God, I feel like sometimes I have to say something, and I have nothing to say. And she's crying, and she's crying. But yet, just in a moment of this cry of a mother looking at her daughter and her granddaughter, and she shifts from this I'm just going to call it a soul cry. From this soul cry to all of a sudden turning to God and saying, I don't charge it to you, Lord. She might not have used that exact words, but that's what she was saying. I don't blame you, Lord. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. And I think that's why I want to talk about this today, because in moments of tragedy, oftentimes we can get to that point and say, look, Lord, you know, we forget we're not in a perfect world. Hello. We forget that there's, you know, that we have free will. And oftentimes when tragedy strikes, the first person that gets hit is God. We forget about the evil of mankind. We forget about the enemy. We forget about our own decision making and how that wreaks havoc. This person who decided to run from the law for whatever. I don't even know what he was running for. I don't even know. I don't even want to know. The verse says in verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are seen, we're looking at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. The context of this, obviously, is the disciples and us who've gone out and shared the word of God and got beaten up by sharing the word of God. That no matter what beatings you've taken, you know, don't lose heart. There's something greater on the other side. It's really, if I can sum it up real quickly. Now, as a Christians, living and going through stuff and tragedy and all of that, us who there's still a message we're carrying even. Listen, I got up today because there's still a message I'm carrying that I need us to see. And I'd like to share that even when we go through trials, even though we get beaten up and all, this light affliction, it's just for a moment. We're in this for a little while. And there's pain involved in this life. Once again, I like to keep it real. When I talk to people, when they come into Christianity, and yes, you're going to have a lot of blessings as a result of now being in Christ. But don't think we've escaped the problems of this world. Don't think we've escaped the tragedies of this world. We're still in it. We're still in this temporary place with this temporary system that's right here. And God's work is at work. And here's the thing. God is at work even when we don't know God is working. It says here, we're looking at the things that are seen, the things we can see, the things we understand, and all of that. God is working beyond all of that. I praise God and I thank God I had a chance to sit down with my cousin and share the gospel with her. That gives me, and baptize her myself. That gives me some solace. That gives me some comfort. And the comfort is that there's a reward. There is a reward. I know we're living this life as if this is the end. This isn't the end goal. We're struggling through this life. And the sooner we can recognize that we got to just go through the struggles, that there's a destination where we're going. If you think of the Old Testament, you know, we've got a Canaan that we're going to in heaven. They had to go through the wilderness to get to their Canaan. They had to go through hardship. They had to go through struggle. They had to go through death. They had to go through tragedy in order to get to their Canaan. And for us, and when while we're still in this flesh, while we're in a temporary place and waiting that eternal abode. He says in verse 1, for we know, in chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that our earthly house, this tent is destroyed. What's a tent? A tent is a temporary dwelling. Right? This tent is temporary. It's not made to, hello, you keep living, you recognize it's temporary. And it breaks down the older it gets. Right? I can't do the same things I did when I was 20. Oh, I wish I could go back. It breaks down. And it's preparing us to make that next exit, that next entrance. One of the things Paul does, go back to Romans 8 real quick. Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What Paul does here, first of all, he acknowledges the reality of pain and suffering. The sufferings of this present time, they're inevitable. They're part of this process. They're part of this broken world that we're in. But Paul gives us this comparison. He goes, look, the sufferings of this age cannot be compared to the glory we're about to receive. And that, I think I shared something similar to this on last week. That is what gives us hope. Gives us hope. Because if we recognize and realize that there's something greater than the suffering that I'm going through right now, there's a payoff that's going to come out. There's something, there's a reward that's going to come for everything I'm sacrificing, I'm going through, for holding on to hope, for holding on to my faith, for jumping through over the hurdles and all that. There's a reward. There's a well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in few things, I'll make you rule over many. But what comes with that well done is a whole lot of pain, struggle, hurt. It comes with it. And he tells us that this suffering is nothing to be compared with what we're going to get. Hope. 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 If you don't get anything else, hold on to hope. There's something greater coming. There's something greater that we can't even compare any of this with. Turn with me. Let's go to Revelation real quick. Revelation 21. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write to me, for these words are true and faithful. There's going to be a day. It's not today, though. It's not today where there's going to be no more tears, no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's the picture of hope that is painting for us. The reality right now, suffering. Trials. Let's not paint it that there's no joy in between all that, amen? There's plenty of joy and blessings in between all of that. But we can't escape the trials. We can't escape the pain. We can't escape the hurts and all that. It's part of this life that we're in. You can't escape it. The only time we will escape it is when we get to that place where there'll be no more tears, no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away, because he's making all these things new. He's taking us back to what he intended all the way back in the garden, the type of relationship that man had with God. We're going back to that. But just like in anything, sometimes in order to go forward, you know, or before you get that peace and all that, there's got to be a whole lot of, right? This world is going to come to an end at some point. And before God remakes it and does all that, there's going to be a culmination. Everything is going to come to this climactic moment. Jesus is coming back. Oh, nobody said nothing. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back to get his people. And so if you're not prepared for that, if you're not prepared to be able to receive this great blessing that you hear in Revelation 20 about this new Jerusalem that's coming, the pictures that we have of heaven, even though they're not literal, but they're descriptive to us to help us to see a little bit about the glory of what heaven looks like, the walls of jasper, the streets of gold, all of those beautiful things are there to give us some hope. Continue fighting. Don't give up. We were singing a song we had a little vigil yesterday, and where's my backup, Cedric? Cedric and I were singing, and we were the only ones singing. Kind of awkward, but it was all right, you know. But we were singing, I shall not be moved. Satan wants to use tragedy to move you. And you got to fight back. I'm not going nowhere, Satan. I shall not be. First of all, I never expected it all to be smooth sailing. Amen? That's why I tell you, I keep it real. I'm going to give you right from the beginning. Don't think it's smooth sailing now. Matter of fact, recognize you got a target on your back, that the enemy Satan is looking for a way to try to pull you back. And you got to fight back with him and say, look, I feel the pain. It hurts. I ain't going nowhere. Though all hell assail me. That's what the song says. I didn't say it. The song says it, right? Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Let's keep that in our thoughts and minds. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you know you need to get into this relationship with the Lord. You need to walk with him and talk with him. You need his salvation. You need him to wash away your sins and bring you into the family of God. And yes, it's going to be still challenging afterward, but the beauty is we have the Holy Spirit with us to guide us. We have our elder brother Jesus walking by our side, always with us. We have the Father. So we have God with us. Are you ready to have God with you? If you're ready, won't you come this morning, surrendering in baptism? Jesus told his disciples to go share this message to the world. And people responded by obeying the gospel of baptism. When you look at Acts chapter 2, the gospel was preached, and people said, what do we need to do? Peter told them, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's someone here today ready to receive the forgiveness of your sins, to be washed from your sins, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be now free from this bondage of sin. If you're ready to make that decision, won't you come right now? We've got water ready. We got everything ready. Won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation. Come right now if you're ready to put the Lord on in baptism.
Oh, do not let the word depart.